When my first escrow office win and she called me for $250, right, signing, I flipped that and I called up one of my sorority sisters.
If someone knows what they want and they know that you have it, then what's left to agree upon? When can you come? That's the question I'm wondering.
Let's talk about notary.
I'll give an example of what that looks like in the notary.
Fascinating.
Peace, peace, peace. This is the International Sales and Marketing Hitman, your humble hip-hop sales coach, Tiger Toledo. And you already know what it is, man. You rocking with the best. Yo, today is a very, 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 very special show, ladies and gentlemen, because this is the basically like 24 hours shy of a one-year anniversary since I had the beautiful Kim Yanni on this show. And there, let me tell you, she has evolved in a way that I am super thrilled. I'm so thrilled that I had to break out the Biggie and Diddy shirt. For you, Kim, I broke out the Biggie and Diddy shirt because we doing that. That's the type of collab that we on today. So
I love it. I love it. Real live. I love it.
Let everybody know who you are, where you hail from, what city you repping. Let's go.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. It's me, Kim of Kim Yanni Professional Services. We are based in Prince George's County, Maryland. However, my town, my hometown is Southeast Washington, D.C. We'll never forget it. We'll always claim it. But let me tell you something. I have to give you, before we start anything today, I have to give you your flowers, T. Diddy. Listen, I got to give you your flowers, got to pay you the homage, because from that interview that we had, we're less than a year away, 24 hours from a year away from that interview, I have changed my whole mindset as far as developing different streams of income, as far as not just relying on just notary to make my moves, getting rid of the Kool-Aid, like I had that detox the Kool-Aid out of me with the monetary limitations that they wanted to put on you as a notary. I had to get rid of that. I mean, yeah. It's just, I could go on and on, but before we start, I wanted to give you your flowers. I appreciate you. Like, you know, you're an unofficial mentor of mine, like a whole entrepreneurial mentor, and I just appreciate you. I'm telling you, like, right now, today, mindset totally different. It's definitely because of everything you've been pouring into our squad, Ghost Squad, and just on your page, period. I just appreciate you.
You ain't gonna get me tearing in this joint.
Listen, I had to do it. I was like, I got to give you your flowers, because I'm telling you, like, real life, you have really changed me weight-wise. Like, I lost 30 pounds.
That's what's up.
And lost 30-plus pounds. You remember when you started working out at the beginning?
Yes.
You was posting on videos. I was like, man, I got to get my shit together.
I love it. I love it. This is what we about. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm winning and my team ain't winning, just like, I'm whack. Like, where I come from, that's whack.
Yeah.
Like, I should not be the one only person at the restaurant ordering, you know, filet mignon. The whole team should be ordering filet mignon, and we're all fighting to pay for the bill. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know what these whack foo-foo dudes do, but I know we gonna live, we gonna eat, we gonna love life to its fullest. So so in this evolution of yours, right, I've noticed that you were rolling out personal credit for people. Like, now I've had my experience with personal credit has not been well. You know, I've probably had bad credit longer than I've had good credit. And one thing that I can say is that when I would jump on YouTube and get a lot of this free information, it was really bad. It was bad information that I was getting. And, you know, I wish that I paid someone to help me with my credit versus YouTube surfing, trying to get free information, going the cheap route and doing that. So could you speak on that? Like, how important is it, like, as an entrepreneur to really get your business, your personal credit right? And not just that, just for your overall lifestyle.
Well, honestly, let me just talk from the perspective that I had absolutely zero desire to be an entrepreneur. I stumbled upon this because of the $10,000 a month pandemic Kool-Aid that was going around back in 2021. It was about being a loan signing agent and make your LLC and you can make $10,000 today. And to be honest with you, that's what I fell into. So, because I was home, pandemic, wasn't nothing else to do. I was an Uber and Lyft driver as a side hustle. And of course, it wasn't nothing popping for that when the pandemic, when the world was shut down. So, got on YouTube, discovered that, and started a business. Now, we're 2 years later, because that's 2021. So, it was 2023 now. 2 years later, I realized that personal credit is essential, not just for lifestyle, but for a business owner, because everyone is on here telling you how you can do all these things as far as creating streams of revenue for your brand and business credit, but they don't tell you that down the line, those little small things that you're doing is not going to last if you turn and you don't have good personal credit to leverage. So those little hacks and things that people are promoting, I'm not knocking them. Hey, if it works, it works. But at some point, you're gonna have that personal credit, gonna have to meet that business credit. If you're trying to get to a certain level, that's just the bottom line.
Yeah. So, like, in your journey being an entrepreneur now, how has you how has the journey been for you as being an entrepreneur?
It's been a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really honestly how I could describe it. Because to be honest, I'm thinking when I went in, like I shared, I watched some YouTubes and was like, oh, yeah, I'm about to be a loan signing agent. I'm going to be the loan signing agent of the world, Craig. And then went in Maryland, you have to have a TIPIC license, and that's a computerized state test that you have to take. You have to pay, you have to study and take and pass in order to be a loan sign agent. And nobody in the $10,000 industry said, hey, by the way, in Maryland, you got to take that test before you start. So that was one of the downfalls. But anywho, took the test, found out that's what I needed, took the test, passed, and became a loan sign agent. And I was like, and it was so crazy because after I passed the test, I got my certification. I was like, I brought this printer and all this stuff. I was like, I don't want to do this. And I did not.
What made you not want to do it?
Because I just started thinking about the amount of pages that I would have to print. And then I started thinking about how many times I would have to go to FedEx a day. And then I started thinking about how many I will have to do, and I have a full-time job, so that's not gonna work. I mean, for it to be fruitful. And unfortunately, that's something that I did not put into consideration before I went and got an LLC, before I did all this stuff, thinking I'm going to be a loan signing. So for me, it's been a whirlwind because I had to restructure my whole entrepreneurial journey because it was built on a shaky foundation of loan signing, and then I had to turn it around and make it and rebuild it to what makes sense.
Yeah, that is something that a lot of that isn't revealed in the loan signing industry is the amount of work that you're really going to put in to make that type of bread, right? That, to be honest with you, that's the same reason why I stayed away from the loan signing industry as well. I did one loan sign. Like, you don't want me doing your loan signings. Like, I will fuck up the whole shit, like from front to back. Like, I'm not good at the loan signing thing at all. That's why I dispatch notaries to do it that are well versed in it. But me personally, I can tell you my experience. I had a student at the time, and I said, "Hey, look, I'm gonna close this deal, but I'm gonna give you the assignment, and we're gonna break bread." And he was like, "All right, no problem. But in order to do that, I want to hear the whole process, right?" So it was complete 100% conference call, right? I'm closing the deal, and then I was like, "Okay, I have my notary, so and so. He's going to be taking care of you." And Kim, I'll tell you, he had he was like, "Okay, I'm going to send you an email, then I'm going to send you another email back, then I'm going to send you another email." This was just the e-correspondence side of things, right? Then it was like, "Okay, then I need you to print out the paper, and then that it's about 175 pages. Then I need you to print out another copy for the."
Negative.
I'm like, okay. I'm just sitting in the back, like, fuck this shit. And then
Exactly.
she was like, "And then after everything is done, we need you to call us and let us know that everything is done. And then we need you to do the scan backs. We have to get the scan backs before you do the fax, please. So if you have to go home, or maybe you have Kinko's or FedEx office in the back of your trunk, go ahead and run that. And then you could go to FedEx. You got to make it there by 5:30 though, because after 5:30, they're not sending it overnight." I'm
Exactly.
like, one, I should have charged the lady way more money.
Oh.
Two, it's like, damn, my dude, like, you deal with this on an ongoing basis? This is like a normal day for you? He was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, nah,
Yeah.
you could keep that."
Right.
So that's what turned you off about the whole situation?
Yeah, because it was just too much running. And I'm just like, I mean, I drive for a living. Like, I'll drive anywhere and I'll do, you know what I'm saying? Because, like I told you, I was an Uber and Lyft driver for my side hustle before the pandemic. But, you know, there's all this extra emailing and printing out. And then you have a person cancel. I didn't print it out almost 300 pieces of paper for somebody to cancel. And then you only talking about 75, like I gotta go through the middleman, so you talking about $75 and all this crazy, these low ball prices. And nah, I just was like, nah, this ain't for me. So I ditched that idea quick. Now, don't get me wrong, if I get persons that find me on Google and they ask me to do like their refis and things like that, I do it on my own. And of course, I price my price. My price is my price. But other than that, you would never catch me signing. And that was another thing. You had to sign up for all those agencies. I did like 20, and I was like, man, forget this, you know. And that's another thing. And then I wasn't interested in waiting for 30 to 45 days for my check. So
That's another thing,
that
man.
was another thing. See, they wasn't putting it out there back then. Oh, by the way, your check is going to be delayed. Like, you gotta wait 30 to 45 days for your bread. So I'm like, no. Absolutely not. So it was just a bunch of compounding things that I wish I knew from the jump, then I wouldn't even gotten to it. But you know, that's neither here or there, lesson learned.
No, this is really good, because there are people that are watching this right now, and then we're live on YouTube as well, that are considering doing loan signings. And I think our conversation that we're having right now is really exposing the full truth. And then you can make your own decision. Like, we're
Exactly.
look, just because loan signing wasn't for me and Kim doesn't mean that it ain't for you. So I
Exactly.
want to put that out there first, but at least you know the whole truth. I have a buddy in Brooklyn that said, "Look, man, if I'm dating a chick and she decides that she wants to date other chicks too, or other dudes, at least tell me so I can make my own decision. I might be cool with it, right?" So if you're getting exposed to the full truth of what loan signing entails, then you could be like, "All right, yeah, I still want to do it," or, "Nah, I'm good. Let me explore something else." So I think this conversation that we're having needs to be talked about. Because you're going in there blindly like Mr. Magoo and don't really see what is being offered out there.
And it's just so much that middleman thing really burns me up. Like, I'm not interested And being, you know, I already have a 9 to 5, so that's a 2 week wait, right? You know, you just bi-weekly for your 9 to 5. So I'm a turn around. I done did 10 emails back and forth. I done printed out 2 sets of documents. I haven't even made it to the FedEx yet because first you want me to scan it back to you before I even go to the FedEx to make sure that it's correct. And then I get to the FedEx. Not only do you want me to do all that for one package, but I am supposed to make this a livelihood. So I should be having at least 5 to 6 appointments of this consistency. And you think I'm going to be able to get through my day? No, there's no way. So it wasn't for me at all.
Yeah, that is a hell of a run to try to fit all of those appointments in, like 3 or 5 appointments. It's your day is shot.
Yeah, it is. It's shot to hell. So yeah, that's one thing that I wish I knew when I first, you know, took the cup of the Kool-Aid. I wish I knew that it had all those missing components that they were not putting out. But now that I know, you know, like I said, neither here or there.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Your entrepreneurship, right? Like, you said it's been a roller coaster, and as it should be, right? You know, it's not for the weak. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to really buckle down. It's a self-actualization type of journey in your life, because you realize what your fears are. You realize what you're not good at. Like, there's going to be some things that you're like, wow, I'm good at this, but I'm terrible at this, and it affects your business. So what have you seen in your journey that entrepreneurs need to buckle down on? Like, what is it? Like, if you can name 2 things that entrepreneurs need to know before jumping into this game, what would you say it is?
I would say the one thing that they need is a business plan. Mm. And I'm going to tell you why. If not, it would be all over the place. Because if you don't have a business plan, basically, what is the purpose of your business? What are you going to be doing? Not just about the revenue. I'm just talking about the complete structure of your business. So that's why the business plan is important.
Okay.
So another thing that I would say you would need, and I wish I had it out the beginning, is, I don't even know if you can have it from the jump, but automation. Like, I just wish I would have just had my business, because now that I have automation in my business, it's just like, it's a dream. But I didn't have it because I didn't know about it. So I had to learn it. And honestly, I got that from tech, from Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. He was preaching that automation. And I was just like, how the hell I'm gonna be automized? Like, what is that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I had to study it and I had to get active in it. And I'm telling you, it just changed the whole scope of how I make my bread for the business. So those are 2 things, key things that, you know, business plan, because if not, you'll be all over the place. Like, you know what I mean? Because people are like, oh, loan signing this, fingerprint, do all this, curious business and all this. But if you have a business plan, bam, you'll know what you're doing and you'll be structured versus all over the place. And that automation, whew, game changer.
Yeah, it really
Karen, is. You did all the hard work.
Man. Yeah, talk on that, Tech. We got Tech in the building. Talk on that, man. How important that is, Tech.
Kim, you did all the hard work, all right?
Listen, Tech, I'm telling you, you teaching that in Clubhouse, I had seen your Clubhouse over a year ago, and I just took, like, heavy notes on, you know, just automizing your business and everything. And I also purchased one of your guys, Thumbtack, and I want to say it was another one that I got, but I can't think of the title right offhand. But I'm telling you, man, it just changed the game for me. Like, I'm more organized. I'm more time efficient because, like I said, I got a 9 to 5. So I really can't, you know, like if I'm locked in for the 9 to 5, I got to be able to still make my appointments, get my appointment scheduled, do all of that while I'm doing my 9 to 5. You feel me? So, yeah, automation. So where's that?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Okay, I got a question for you, Tech, while you're on here.
Yeah. Shoot, man.
Can a person that is just getting started in their, you know, entrepreneurial career start off with automation or no?
Yes, it's possible for the right person. It's possible for the right person. I would ask, what are you automating? I would ask that because just to have, like, what process are you actually replacing? Are you replacing the phone part? Are you replacing the scheduling part? Are you replacing the lead part? So in Kim's explanation of saying having a business plan, or at least having some type of framework, some type of outline, what is supposed to happen? And then once you actually have an answer to that, what is supposed to happen when the person answers the phone or when you respond to someone's request? What do you want to happen? Once you have an answer to that, and then you have an answer to what is it that you are automating? So for the right person, I think, yeah, if you start off, you could do it. I think it's possible. I would caution you though to think that just by virtue of having a phone that all of a sudden is going to, you know, ring all of a sudden, I would caution you to think that just by having a scheduling app, all of a sudden now you are now going to have this influx of work. That's not how it works.
Okay.
So yeah, I would caution you to do that. But if you have the right approach, and it's basically, I think, so the answer to your question is yes. I think it's possible. You know? Not to discourage anybody to do it. I think it's possible. You can do it.
But it's a gradual process. Like as you're working up to, you know, getting more business and stuff like that, then you automate more.
Yeah, I mean, this is a sales training, right? So basically, I mean, think about it. If you have a real estate license, why are some people more successful at it than others? They got the same amount of time. Why are some people more successful at the notary public industry than others? I mean, you can define it however you define it. I think people want to secure appointments, book appointments. But why is it that this person does it a little bit different? It's because they exposed, well, because I've injected a little bit of technology into it. And that is what, as a result, makes me a little bit more successful than if I just signed up for 100 listings or databases or directories. If I just did that. You can do that, but what if I actually injected the ability to answer on the first ring? Not two rings or three, but the first, like the phone don't even ring. It picks it up automatically. I'm able to inject that in addition to signing my name up to 100 listings or databases. So now all of a sudden, the person who needs a notary, which is everybody, they get an instant response. They don't even wait. And if it's serious enough, they'll press zero and then they'll get you on the phone, right? That's a high quality lead. That's that's an incredibly high quality lead. That person wants what you have. And you can make it quicker. So that's why I think for the right person, you can inject automation. Boom, you can instantly notice the difference. And Kim, she noticed that. I mean, some people get it. Some people take a little bit longer than others. So,
and like she said, Kim, you're like, man, that was a game changer. Like, this thing is running on its own at this point. And yeah, I love automation. I love automatic money, automatic cash flow. Sign me up. But I wanted to talk about this quick thing. You have a unique situation where you were charging your prices out there. And you were running into haters. Shit is wild to me, man. Like, please talk about, like, I don't know if your situation is unique or this, like other notaries actually experience this.
We do. We do experience it.
Okay, please tell people about some of those scenarios that has been happening to you. I had that happen to me once, and I was like, go ahead and report me, bitch. Like, you know what I mean? I was. And she was like, your prices are, and she paid half of it. She just didn't want to pay the other half. And I learned from her, I didn't take it as a L, as a loss, but a lesson, that half and half didn't work for me. Getting paid half up front and then half on the back end.
Say that again.
No.
Those days are over for Kim.
Oh, yeah. So that was the only experience that I had where someone tried to, you know, they said they were going to report me to the Secretary of State. But you've had many.
Oh, yeah, I've had several. Yeah. So let me tell you, first of all, another Kool-Aid that I was in. I was basically scared of the Secretary of State. Like, oh, I'm going to get reported to the Secretary of State. You know what I'm saying? But seriously, all jokes to the side, I was doing things as if I was working for the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not working for the Secretary of State.
Mm.
I'm working for Kim Yanni Professional Service, which is my business. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm an employee of my business. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm getting paid as, okay, I'm getting too wild with it, but I am the CEO of the business. So I'm getting paid as the CEO of the business. So I am employed by my business. I'm not employed by the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State is who grants your notary public authorization in your state, but I don't work for them. If that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I had to get out that mindset of, why am I fearing somebody I don't work for? As long as I'm following my state laws, as it relates to notarizations, I don't have to worry about the Secretary of State. You understand what I'm saying? And whatever a person report, that's what they report. But you're not going to box me in and tell me that I'm going to leave my home, my precious home, for $6. It ain't happening. So, you know what I mean? So that's where I had to really just buckle down and been like, you know, well, I'm either going to live in fear or I'm going to be a real business owner and I'm going to make my bread for my business. You know what I mean? So then I had to realize just doing notarizations was not going to cut it. I was going to have to get multiple streams of income. Because again, I was thinking that since I started the LLC and I was going to be this loan signing agent of the world, I figured that I was only going to be focused on notarizations, if that makes sense. And that's far from the truth. And that's what I have discovered during my path. That's why I say it's been a whirlwind. Because honestly, had I not fell into the Kool-Aid of that and fell into the Kool-Aid of just, you're just a notary, you know, just supposed to just go around, just stamp things, you know, and just get your $6 and go about your way. You know? So that's where I'm at with it. I had to get rid of that mindset. I do not work for the Secretary of State.
How did you even find out that people were trying to report you because they did not understand that? That's really what it was. They did not understand your frame of pricing, right? So they're looking at SOS, Secretary of State, and they're saying, I could price it. How the heck is she 200 times more than I am? There's something going on here. I can't charge that. How come she gets to charge that? How did you wind up finding out that this was something that people were doing, trying to sabotage your empire, your kingdom?
Oh, I was getting like email threats first. That came first. And then after that, I got contacted. So, you know, it was a real situation.
Like the notaries were contacting you?
Or yeah, the notaries was doing the emailing, the email threats. Because one, they were already mad about my Google My Business page, first of all. So they was trying to jeopardize that. So they started with that. When everything panned out solid, Google gave them their, hey, we don't see anything wrong here, beat it. So then they decided, oh, okay, well, we'll just take it up a step further and go to the SOS. So once they did that, yeah, I was contacted, but nothing panned out from it because I'm legit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to get like several pieces of evidence to substantiate your claim. You just can't go throw out a claim out there and think somebody going, you know, just be like, oh, yep, that's what they doing, and da-da-da-da, you know.
That's so wild, man.
But it's wild out here, bro. It's wild. It's treacherous. It's treacherous people out here, bro.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Oh, yeah, they treacherous out here, man. Because, I mean, one, I would be upset, too, if you seen me and I came on the scene 2021. 2021, I came on the scene. Mm-hmm. I started it in July. I had my LLC in February, but I didn't even start until July. And turned around, it's 2023, and I'm almost at 240 reviews. I would be upset too. But at the end of the day, they don't understand that the reviews came, that the heavy solicitation of the reviews did not come until after I learned the knowledge of how important it was to substantiate your business. Yeah. And I was doing it from a business credit perspective, mm-hmm. you know, looking at it from that perspective, building that for that. And then in the midst, realized that it is beneficial all the way around. You know what I'm saying? So when that started occurring, they felt like that I was getting every client in Maryland, which I'm not. You know, if that was the case, I should have like 500 reviews, right? If you want to talk about how many people I didn't service. But you know, what they don't realize is, one, people don't do reviews like that. You know, honestly, this winning smile got me the reviews that I got so far. And a lot of people just don't do it. They don't go online. They don't want to do it unless it's something that pissed them off or something negative. Then they'll hurry up and do it. But a positive, they're not going to guarantee you one. You know what I mean? So people just got to realize that. But yeah, they were upset about that.
Yeah.
When the reviews started spiking, they got really pissed about that.
Yeah, Tommy Watkins said the hate is real. It's true, man. Yeah. A lot of the time, it's the people that will try to tear you down in this game are the ones that really don't, like in the business world, they don't understand your business model and and they know that you're winning. Nobody's messing with you when you're losing, fam. Mm-hmm. For them, it justifies their hierarchy of like, okay, Kim, Yanni, and Tiger aren't doing well. Poor them. But I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Too bad for them. Great for me. And they would rather feel sorry for you than to applaud you. Here's one of the things I want to, you know, mention. When these companies are lowballing you and giving you these really low deals, it's not because of the way you present your business. It's because other notaries has presented their business in a low-level fashion. Somebody out there was willing to do an entire reverse mortgage for $45. So now when the company calls, they're thinking, is this the norm? We just got somebody that did it for $45. Now you're coming and telling us it's $300. They're confused. They're trying to figure it out. So don't be mad at the company for lowballing you. Just understand that it is your fellow notary that's kind of, you know, mixing shit with the cake mix. They're the ones that aren't representing the industry right. That's why you're getting hit with these low balls. That's why they're disrespectful when they're on the phone, because other notaries put up with that mess.
And I can't tell what another notary do in my state. I don't care what they do. Ain't none of my business. But I'm gonna tell you this: you're not about to pocket me, because I was in that space where it was like, oh man, I can't. You know, I shouldn't ask for that much, because this is just like, you know, it might not be, it might be too high. Nah, I'm done with that. And that's why they didn't get their win, their victory, because they didn't have substantial proof that it was not according to the laws of the land, as they say. They didn't have no proof of that. So,
yeah, it's wild when you're dealing with other notaries. Me having the agency, I got to see how notaries operated. And tech knows I talk about this a lot, but you know, they would try to extort me and shit. I'm like, he can't extort me. I'm the extortionist. Like, that's what I do. I'm the loan shark here. Like, no, this, you got, but I remember, here's the tip. Instead of getting mad at the person that's winning, connect with that person and ask them to teach you how to win.
Right.
Like, you're looking at it all wrong, man. You got your glasses on backwards, fam. Right. Like, get it right.
Right. And the crazy thing about it is, it wasn't like this just, this shit just happened overnight. Like I said, I started this in 2021. It's just November 2023. I mean, I don't even feel like I'm a winner yet, to be honest with you. Even with the different things that I do have and I've established in this field, I don't even still feel like a winner, because I got so much left to do and so much things to correct from what I learned that was incorrect when I first started in 2021. So to me, I don't even feel like I'm winning yet. But to them, they're upset because I just came and stuff just started turning around and clicking. But it was just a few minor changes that I made thus far. When 2024 hit, they really going to be sick.
Yeah.
It's going to be a winning season.
We're going to talk about what's coming up 2024 for you. I'll share this last story and then we'll go into a quick Q&A with everybody. Shout out to everybody that's on YouTube, and everybody, Ben Brown, we got Martina B, we got Dawn Notary Nation, we got Tech, we got Tommy Watkins out there in Alabama in the backstage. Shout out to you guys. I wanted to share this last story before we go into the Q&A. I had an assignment in Indiana, and this just shows you, you know, that collaboration will beat competition any day of the week. I had an assignment in Indiana, and I had closed the deal for like about, I think it was like 250 or whatever. And I called the notary in Indiana and I was like, hey, are you available to do this assignment? And she was like, yeah, I could do it. So I asked her, you know, what is your price? And she said $100. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I get to keep 150 for myself. Of course, I didn't tell her that. So 30 minutes leading to the appointment, this lady calls me back and says, I'm going to need $175 for this assignment. And I'm like, okay, why? Like, what are you doing extra that's, you know, helping us make more money? She was like, well, I'm the one that's taking all of the risk. I'm the one that's driving. I'm the one that's notarizing. My name is going to be on the document and all. So immediately I go into, so you're trying to extort me. You want to extort me. You know that the appointment is in 30 minutes. You waited till the time ran down and then try to negotiate and extort me for a higher price. Excuse me. So I said to her, where is all of this coming from? Like, you gave me the price. I agreed to pay you your price. Where's the additional $75 coming from? It was like, it must be coming from somewhere. And what she told me was mind-boggling. She said, I've always wanted to start my own agency, and I never learned how to do it. So I figured, since you have one and I don't, I'm going to charge you more. I was like, why didn't you just ask me to teach you how to start your own agency? Wouldn't that help?
Right.
Wouldn't that help better than you just trying to squeeze an extra 75? Wouldn't that pay out better than $75? So now that you're demanding an extra $75, guess what's going to happen now? You're going to run the appointment, and I'll never use you again. Mm-hmm. Nor will you ever get the information from me on how to start your own damn agency. You see how that works?
Right, right. And that's the thing. Like, they never think about, okay, well, let me just hit Kim up and find out, like, what? Okay, if you got 7 reviews and you've been in business for 3 years, and I'm telling you, it's plenty of Maryland businesses in the notary industry. Google them. Do yeah. Notary near me in Maryland. You will see all of these notary businesses got 7 reviews, 3 reviews, but y'all been in business for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Like, make it make sense. But then you get mad at a kid that come in, sweep y'all, is number one in the top 3, and then you want to get to doing all this hating stuff. Like, I mean, just won't you just ask me? Like, yes. Hey, are you able to get that many reviews? And I would just tell you. I ask them off the rip. Like, the second they put their pen down and I stamp their paper, greetings. Yeah. You know, when we leave it, when I'm leaving, greetings. I hope your appointment was great today. This is my text message. I send it out, straight out. It's set up, ready to go. Fire it now that I have automation. The junk just go right out. Soon as I say that the appointment is done, like the calendar knows that the appointment is done, it goes right out. Boom. It has the link for the Google review. Now, do they do it? No, not all the time. But hey, sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. But in the beginning, before I got into automation, I used to send it myself. And I'd be like, hey, can you do this? You know, had the link already ready. Bam. But now it just automatically go out. So, you know. Just now, ask me.
I hope people listened and had their pen and paper out for that one, because you just dropped a bar. You dropped a heavy bar on that and told people exactly how you were able to accomplish getting all of those 5-star reviews. Ladies and gentlemen, Kim Yanni was very intentional with what she did. Mm-hmm. Your other notaries are haphazard, like, oh, I'll do it when I think about it, or... like, I don't know if I provided 5-star service for this person, so I'm not going to send that. Like, no, she was very intentional. That was her goal. I remember you used to put it in the chat, like, I'm only, you know, 50 more away from having like 200 and something 5-star reviews. Like, you were very intentional with that. Like, that had to happen. And in order for you to get that 5-star rating, you had to give them 1-star service.
Exactly. And that's another thing. Every appointment I walk in, I don't care if traffic delayed me. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You know, because I communicate to my customers, one. So even if traffic was at, you know, traffic and I'm delayed by a few minutes, I still last. Hey, because guess what? When I walked in your door, you still got that. You didn't get that, oh, I was stuck in traffic, mad, Kim. You got in, oh, this is my new customer, and I'm going to go ahead and do 1,000 for them because I was delayed by traffic. And I still lasted, and I still get them. So a lot of people be putting fears into what they trying to do. Like, they'll put a fear on themselves. Oh, I was late, so I shouldn't even ask them because they might give me a 4. No, they might just give you a 5 because guess what? Even if you was late, if you came in and did your job, they got it done. They getting ready to send them papers wherever they sending them. They don't care about you being late. You know what I'm saying? Now, of course, if you're an hour late now, we just talking about a little grace period, you know, the 15 minute, 20 minute. Now, if you're an hour late, didn't communicate with the client, and you just show up at their door, then you get what you get. But I'm just talking about real life professionalism. If you giving that professionalism, you got that communication going, I mean, I even got it set up in my phone that I'll just say I have a selection that I, if I say I'm delayed in traffic or if my client was late, my previous client was delayed, it's going to put me a few minutes back. And all I do is just push the button and send it to the client. You know what I'm saying? To my next client. So I ain't got to be doing all this calling and all of this. It goes to the text message, go to the email. Now, if I know it's a person that talked to me on the phone to make their appointment, then I call them. But if we always communicated via email or via text, then that's how I communicate with them. So I just know the person. So if the person called me and they made the appointment and they called me, I'll call. But if they utilize my scheduling link or they utilize text message, because some of them, they just text the business number. They just straight up text and say, hey, I need this and this and this done, da 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 da. Bam, the response goes out and it has a series of questions. So it ain't no stone unturned. What type of document is it? Da 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 da, this and that. Bam, here's your price. Thank you. And they locked in. They schedule and they locked in. So it's just, yeah. I mean, I'm just like, just ask me. And I'll tell you what I'm doing now that I wasn't doing before. When y'all looked at me when I was a newcomer and didn't have no reviews and now I got them. You know what I mean? And now you're worried about some reviews. Reviews is like the last thing you need to be worried about. I mean, of course, they help you, but that's the last thing you need to be worried about. You need to be worried about the revenue that you're bringing in. But that's a whole nother topic.
Talk on that one. Woo!
That's a whole nother topic for another day.
Yeah. So, we're going to go into Q&A. We have Dawn. Dawn, you are live and on the air.
Hey, Kim, how are you doing, sis?
I'm doing great, sis. How about you?
I'm good. So, you know, I have just always liked you. I liked your style. I liked your professionalism. You know, I like the image that your brand put forward when you changed your logo and different things like that. And, you know, just kind of watching you grow. And, you know, I sent you a DM when you was having a time there with the notaries in Maryland. Because I really just believed in what I saw you doing. So kudos to you for still being out here and keeping it rocking. So my question for you is, what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned since you didn't really set out to be an entrepreneur and now here you are, you know, you're doing your thing. What would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned so far?
Can I ask, are you asking like personally or are you asking like the biggest lesson that I learned personally or as an entrepreneur?
I'm referring to the biggest lesson as an entrepreneur out here.
Okay. The biggest lesson that I've learned so far is not to put yourself in anybody else's box. Meaning that people will try to box you in with their belief of how you should be running your business, and don't do it, because you'll be missing out on your blessings if you're structuring yourself around what somebody else is doing, or if you're taking advice from a person that's not on a real entrepreneurial level. They still like a work, you know what I'm saying? They're not a boss, you know what I mean? So that's, I would say that's one of my biggest lessons I learned so far.
Love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you, sis. Yes, you were. Because remember, I told you I was about to throw in the towel. I was like, I ain't about to do no more notary, nothing.
Yeah. I was like, huh? Wait a minute. Hold up. What?
No. Yeah, I was. Because I'm just too boss. I'm not about to go be catfighting with no females. And I'm not about to be catfighting with nobody. Like, I'm like, listen, I'm a whole ninja out here. I'm not no, you know what I'm saying? I'm a female in the body, but I'm a whole ninja in the brain. So I'm not about to be going back and forth and catfighting with no bras about nothing. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Like, definitely. Like, I'm proud of
if you worried about what I'm doing, I can go. Because guess what? I'm going to make a bag regardless. Right. You're not going to stop. Hard.
I'm so proud of you. Keep going. Keep them mad.
Thank you so much, sis. Yeah.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, Dawn. Great question. Tech, you're up. You're live and on the air, brother.
Thanks, man. Great interview. Great information. And Kim, this, like I said, you did all the hard work. So I'm not surprised by your success. I'm not at all surprised. You was always there. Always.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So No surprise. My question, though, because what you've done is you've demonstrated this, especially given that story about how there were complaints and people, you know, just accusing you of, and it's just them not really being in your, like you say, on your path and your trajectory. So you've demonstrated that you can have a successful business in a relatively short amount of time. And the question is, if the assumption is that hard work always leads to success, I'm not saying that you didn't do any hard work. What I'm saying is that you understood where you were going, you executed and you accomplished it, you achieved it, and people are puzzled, they're confused, they're not quite sure what it is that you, what you did and how you blew up so quickly, or how you put in work and how it resulted in your success. We got the same commission, but she did it so much different. If hard work doesn't determine success, what, in your opinion, what three things would you say determines success? Because we've already shown people who've been doing this for 20 years and they don't, and they're like, wait, who is her? Who is she? Yeah. Why? How come? What? They don't even, I've been doing this for 30 years. I've been doing this for 5 years. And so if it ain't hard work, what is it?
Okay, you said three things. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get three good ones. My first one is mindset, because you can say I want to be successful all day long. I want to be successful. Just because you say you're successful, don't mean you're successful. That mindset of being able to put into action what the moves, what it takes to be come successful is what's going to help. So mindset. Because if you stuck in your ways and you stuck on just how doing it one way, for example, like Tech used to teach us in Clubhouse, like if you stuck on just being like, oh, well, I'm not going to go into scheduling. I'm just going to just wait for my phone to ring. You're going to be broke. So if you don't have the ability to change your mindset and know that, hey, me waiting on a phone call with a possible client versus me getting some pieces of automation into the business, you're not going to make it. So mindset, that's one. Number two, I would say time management. And I'm gonna explain this, because I try to talk from the standpoint, because a lot of people do not have a 9-to-5. I have a 9-to-5 and it's pretty busy. So that time management piece, you have to know how to manage your time in order to make that next level of success happen. So time management is key. And then third, you have to have a mentor. Like I told T Diddy today, I was like, I mean, he's really been my unofficial mentor, like everything. And you too, Tech, like, especially with the automation piece, like, I'd never really would have known none of this shit if y'all hadn't been in my, you know, in my life. If I haven't met y'all online, like I've ever met y'all in person, but it feels like, you know what I'm saying? I've known y'all for years, you know what I mean? And it's just those type of things. You got to have a mentor. And I mean a legit mentor. I'm not talking about nobody that, oh yeah, da da da, I make 10 million a year, this and that. And like, okay, you make 10 million a year, what? So now you want me to pour my money into your 10 million pot, but you're not really giving no, you know what I mean? But you're not really giving me no steps or nothing. You just giving me all this fluff and showing me your Rolls Royce and showing me this and showing me that. Nah, I need people that's real live in the trenches. And that's what you, Tech and T-Diggy, do. Y'all be in the trenches and y'all helped us, help me for sure. So a mentor, that those are the three things.
Love it. Love it. Great question, Tech. Great question. Yeah, Ben Brown, you are live and on the air.
Okay. What's up, guys? Hey, just full disclosure, I'm out in the field in the community talking to folks about solar, so it might be kind of loud in the background.
No, you're good.
You
can hear
you. Okay. I appreciate it. I just wanted to first off say I love how you infuse your personal branding into your business brand. I think that is awesome and amazing, you know, to put put yourself forward like that, and it speaks a lot about your you know, your confidence and your hustle. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing is on the credit piece. That's something that I've been considering also, is doing something with that. And I wanted to ask, do you have it as a separate brand, or is that all under your notary umbrella?
So, well, I'm sorry.
Oh, you good?
Okay. You finished, Ben?
Yeah, you good.
Okay.
I'm good.
So let me tell you this. Right now, my credit is under my brand, Kim Yanni Professional Services. Now, once it take the direction that I wanted to take, it's going to become separate. So right now, we still in the testing phase, because I just started it in September. So it's just November. So I'm still in the testing phases. I want to see how well it does, especially as far as numbers is concerned, if it's worth separating, or if I'll just continue to offer it as a service. So right now I'm still in the planning stages with that, if that makes sense.
Definitely makes sense. Definitely makes sense. And
thank you so much that about the brand too. I appreciate it.
No worries. And just kind of give you a heads up, what made me ask that is I know one of the things that I have always heard about credit services is that, you know, sometimes once people figure out that that's what you're doing, and people being, you know, credit card processing companies and other folks like that, sometimes they try to hate on you and, you know, deny transactions or do all kind of other shady little stuff. So I was just curious if I should, like, once I get to do it, to setting that up, if I should, you know, just keep it under some kind of a notary umbrella. So definitely as you progress with that, I hope to hear more from you on it.
Oh, for sure. But my desire that is going to take off, which I know it will, it's going to take off and it's going to be its own entity. But as of today, it's still in the testing phase. So that's why I said that. But yeah, it's definitely going to be its own entity. I truly believe.
Thank you, Ben Brown, for that question. You're a true rock star out there in Florida. That's what's up. So, Kim, I wanted to ask you, what's in store for you for 2024? I know you're going to keep your foot on some necks. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to put the pressure on your knee so you can crack their damn necks. Tell everybody what's in store for you. What do you have planned?
Well, to be honest with you, I have a couple of things in the works. Like I said, we in the testing phases with the personal credit restoration. It is doing really well. And it was interesting that Ben had asked me that question. And yeah, so that's one of my big, that's going to be my new baby for 2024. I'm really going to focus on that. I am not in no shape or form giving up notary. I was in the beginning, I told y'all, when I was having a riffraff or whatever, but I have really changed my mindset as far as that is concerned. So that would still be in the play. I'm going to be starting an e-commerce business. I'm going to be starting an e-commerce business in 2024. And I'm also going to start a trash bin cleaning business.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've never heard that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be big because there's not a lot of women in the industry doing it. You know, even though I'm a ninja at heart, but but no, seriously, y'all just decide. But no, it's not a lot of women that's in that industry. So this is something that's been on my heart since the beginning of this year. But I had to get some things in line in order to get that going. So 2024, you will be seeing the birth of that particular business. And it's going to be dope. So it's trash bin cleaning. You know how you put out your trash, trash bins, your recycle bins. So I'm going to be the guy that comes and clean them.
Yeah. Ben Brown said it's huge in Florida.
Yeah. It's, see, in Maryland, it's limited. So you got a couple that been running it, that been running it for a little bit, but it's time for a new face to come on up there.
That's shake right.
Shake them bands up. You know what I mean?
That's right. Let everybody know how they can get in contact with you. And if you have any special offers, share it with the family.
Oh, for sure. Okay, let's start with the offer. Personal credit restoration. I know y'all got some cousins, some aunties, some uncles who's around here with a 4, 5, or 6. If their credit score begins with those three numbers, they need to call me. Call me. Yes, so I would be offering a Black Friday special. Like I said, right now, my consultation fee is $55. But for the services for Black Friday, I will be offering a code. And it's going to be WAR2023 for you to get 50% off your credit restoration services based off the Notary War Room. And based on this opportunity that I have today, that is going to get you 50% off your personal credit restoration services. That's my offer for today. You can reach me. I have Instagram, Kimiani Professional Services Instagram. I just created a Facebook business page, which is, of course, Kimiani Professional Services. I'm on Threads, Kimiani Professional Services. Pretty much everywhere. I have my email, which is info@kjnotarysbcs.com. You can reach me on there. And my 800 number is 855-546-9264. You can hit me on the business line. And yeah, that's how you can reach me.
Love it. Any final words?
Yes. I mean, I know that we were in different topics and different places on this interview today, but I just want, if it's anything that people take away from this interview, I want you to be free. Be free to be yourself as an entrepreneur. Do not let nobody tell you what you can and cannot do, how to pivot or not to pivot. Don't let nobody tell you how to run your business and how to make your bread. It is very, 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 very important that you have the mindset to be able to do whatever it is you want to do. And also to reach out to good guys like Tiger and Tech for different things that can make your business skyrocket. Because I'm telling you, if it wasn't for these two guys and a few other, and sis, she a boss in Florida, telling you, I wouldn't be where I am today, a year later, from the initial interview I had with Tiger. So I'm just, that's what I want to leave on the table, and I appreciate you guys.
Well, you guys heard it here first. The impeccable Kimiani, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the Notary War Room / Notary Sales Training. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe, do all that YouTube shit that they do. And we will talk to you on the rebound.